Radio, Phoenix Police Chief Daniel Ortega was obviously upset when he announced that veteran officer Christopher J. Wilson had been arrested and accused of sexual conduct with two boys, ages 17 and 14. Wilson was arrested at his home. He resigned immediately. Garcia says the youngest victim provided police with the tip that led to Wilson's arrest.
The courageous act of the 14-year-old. He came forth to his parents, and his parents contacted us.
Following yesterday's marijuana lottery, Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery had some words of advice for folks who were lucky enough to get permission to apply for medical marijuana licenses. Quoting Attorney General Tom Horn,
those provisions of the Medical Marijuana Act that are in conflict with the Controlled Substances Act are preempted. That includes cultivation growing.
Bob Baker, Arizona News Radio.
This check of your KVNX traffic, once again, a service of the 99-cent only store. In the 4 o'clock hour, we have a collision in the clearing stages westbound US 60 at the 101. Also, we have an accident requiring extrication between McQueen Road at Guadalupe. Goodness gracious. Also, look for a wreck Southern Avenue at 7th Avenue. 99-cent only stores has everything you need to create a delicious summer fruit salad. Get bags of peaches, plums, and nectarines for only 99.99 cents each. Here's your forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center could see some gusty winds and dust storms late evening hours as some of these thunderstorms die down around the deserts. And we continue very hot, 112 through Saturday. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we are at 114 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to break.
Hey there. Yeah, you. Listen up. You gonna start a digging project? I don't care if you're a pro or just a guy planting a tree in the yard. You need to call 811 before you dig to get the utility lines marked for free. Utility lines can be buried in yards, under streets, alleys, even beneath vacant land. You hit one of those, and believe me, you won't be happy. Keep the neighborhood safe and keep yourself free of fines and repair costs. Know what's below. Call 811 before you dig.
Your safety is our priority at Southwest Gas.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. Does sitting on your wallet feel like sitting on a lopsided booster seat? No? Well, it should. See, Farmers agents can help you stuff your wallet by combining auto and home policies so you can walk tall, sit crooked, and hopefully find a decent chiropractor.
If you want answers about saving money, you want a Farmers agent. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
To speak with a farmer's agent in your community, call 888-96-FARMERS.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
And this is Legalese, every Wednesday from 4 to 5, Dennis Willinchek. Brought to you here at Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, in our Midtown studios and in Phoenix. And today we have a show that we're going to focus on some real estate issues of interest. And we have Councilman Sal DeCiccio. And we also have with us Rebecca Morris, publisher of Arizona Builders Exchange. Now, I want to talk just a minute before we get into it as to who Councilman DeCiccio is, for those of you that follow this sort of thing. And Councilman DeCiccio was appointed by the mayor and Phoenix City Council to fill out the term of Councilman Greg Stanton back in February 10th, 2009. He previously was elected to serve Council District 6 in 1994 and 1998, so he actually came back. And as council member, Councilmember DeCiccio lists his three goals as job creation, improved public safety, and neighborhood preservation. He was born in Youngstown, Ohio, in 1958 to Italian immigrant parents. He attended high school at Tempe High, where now Congressman Harry Mitchell taught government. In fact, my son, Harry Mitchell, was a witness in this case Jack is waiting on a verdict for today. He had lunch with him yesterday, and interesting guy. Anyway, Councilman DeCiccio credits Harry Mitchell for his interest in politics and government, and from what my son said yesterday, he's an outstanding individual. After high school, Councilman DeCiccio attended Arizona State University and earned a bachelor's degree in business. And One of his first jobs after college was working in the office of Senator John McCain. Proud of his country and his heritage, Councilman DeCicco takes the lessons learned in a hardworking home and applies them to his work in the city council every day, and those that know him can attest to that. He, again, lives here with his wife and twin daughters. And welcome to the show. We're pleased to have you here.
Well, thanks, Dennis. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. I've always admired you as one of the finer members of the city council, I'll say publicly, and you've lived up to everybody's expectations. You're an independent guy, and you stand for things, and I love that, and I know my my listeners do as well. Now, today, Councilman, we're going to talk to you primarily about real estate issues, some of the amazing things that you've done in the city with regarding to permitting and moving up permitting to where it's basically something completely unrecognizable from what we had before, and we'll get into that in a minute. I just want to introduce Rebecca Morris to our audience, who's the publisher of Arizona's Builders Exchange. And Rebecca's background in construction engineering puts her in a unique position to publish the Arizona Builders Exchange. And for our listening audience, the website is what?
It is azbex.com.
Azbex.com. And Rebecca has a Bachelor of Science degree in construction engineering technology from Cal Poly at Pomona. Great school, by the way.
Thank you.
She has worked on projects such as a parking structure, seismic upgrades, high-end hospitals, wastewater treatment plant expansion, central power station upgrade. Obviously, she has a broad background in this area and is active in the local trade organizations and has recently volunteered as a member of the ADOT DBE Task Force for Construction Services. And she sees the Arizona Builders Exchange as a platform for the betterment of the local construction industry. So, guys, having gone through your distinguished resumes, let me just start out. Councilman DeCicco, broad question. Where do you see us right now before we get into the details of the whole industry in Arizona now from your perspective as a councilman in Phoenix?
Well, it's not just the real estate industry. The proposal,
construction.
Yeah, construction. Even outside of construction, what we passed at the city of Phoenix is revolutionary. If you look at a process that took a business owner, let's say you're a small manufacturing firm,
okay,
and you're in San Jose, California. And the
right.
reason I picked them is that they're increasing the regulatory burden on their business owners. They're
okay.
just pushing down. What we did is we said, well, you know, we've got to really reduce the regulatory burden and or eliminate it and streamline it and make it a lot easier for them. So if you look at what the normal process is to start a company in the city or any city in the country, it takes about 6 to 8 months to get through the government process. What we did in the city of Phoenix, which has gotten very little attention on it locally, but
right.
it's getting national attention now, is we moved everything that took 6 to 8 months almost anywhere else to 24 hours or less.
Now, come on, 24 hours or less.
Yep.
That's an incredible thing.
It is.
How does that work?
Well, how it works is this. If you look at three different models that are out there, one model says everything you do has to go through the government, and the government has to control the whole thing, and it slows it down. It literally becomes a bureaucratic maze. The second model that everyone looks at and says, well, let's privatize it to one company. Well, you've created another monopoly.
Right.
So what we did is we said, look, we need to create a system or a process, and it's been done in other places. We just expanded it, you
mm-hmm.
know, light years ahead of everybody. But we
I'll
took
say.
It's called self-certification, but literally what it does is it trains architects and engineers in the private sector on our codes. It does that. So now instead of one
you mean entity, on a program that they can get on the web.
Right.
Okay.
Well, they come through a class. They go through it.
Oh, I see.
It's about a day and a half class.
Is it required of them or it's voluntary?
Yes. No, it's required.
Okay.
Matter of fact, we have audits on them. We have an entire process. So if you look at the three different models that are out there, Dennis, one, government does it all, a monopoly. Then the other, it's like
yeah.
the Republican thing. You turn it over to one company, you create another monopoly.
Right.
So what we said is we're going to certify, you know, however many architects and engineers that are out there. Right now we have over 115 certified.
By the city of Phoenix.
By the city of Phoenix. So think about it. If one part of government fails, you know, it slows everything down. One part of the private sector, part of that one model fails, that slows it down. Over here, if you're an applicant and you have to get something through,
yeah.
you go through a certified individual that's already trained on our codes.
Okay.
They submit the plans. You get your permit that day. So now we have 115. So if one of them fails,
yeah.
what happens? It doesn't matter because now you can easily move to another entity.
It doesn't affect anyone else.
It doesn't affect
anyone
else.
It doesn't slow down the process.
It doesn't slow anything down.
Now, to be clear on this, this applies to what? Anybody that's not only building a new home but even remodeling or seeking to do a change in a room or something like that, anything.
Yeah. Well, let's use what the industry people is. Let's say tenant improvements where you've got businesses needing to get in to a building that's already built.
Yeah.
Okay. Tenant improvement just means you just rebuild it out. Under normal circumstances, anywhere else, it takes anywhere between 2 and 3 months to get that finally done, right?
Two or three months even in other cities in Arizona.
Right.
Okay.
And some are even worse.
I thought it was actually
country.
Longer than that.
Well, that's just for tenant improvement. The new build takes longer.
Oh, okay.
So let's say you're a new company, you want to start a business, and you cannot really get your hiring in place for another 2 to 3 months. So what we did is we said, right now with these certified architects, you pick an individual, this list of 115, and it's growing every day. You submit your plans. In the morning, you walk out with your permit that morning, and you start construction that afternoon. It's less than 24 hours. And then next year, in June of 2013, why should you drive down to government and turn in your plans? We're going to have everything online.
Wow.
We're going to start the online.
Well, we're going to take a break in a minute, but I just have to say that's an incredible thing. And what I want to talk about when we come back is how basically you were able to ramrod this through, because with all the bureaucracy that we hear about and all the red tape, that's just, to me, an incredible achievement, frankly. And people should be talking about it, and they're not. So, and I'd like to know whether other cities are following through on this and what the issues are out there as to why they're not. We're talking here about any kind of permitting in the construction realm.
Right. What we're talking about is any type of permit. If you do new construction, you walk in with your plans, you walk out with a permit, you can start construction that day.
All right. Quickly, how long does it take for somebody to get certified in terms of whatever they have to do to be able to do that?
About a day and a half, Dennis.
Okay. So a full day and a half. Do they go to a class or they just learn it online?
No. It's all through class. Individuals, they come in.
Okay.
We've got a list of people at the city.
All right. Well, we'll be back talking about this incredible thing with Councilman DeCiccio, and then we'll be talking with Rebecca Morris as well about permitting in the city of Phoenix. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Don't touch that dial. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Liberty Coin and Precious Metals lets me meet face-to-face with an expert who takes the time to know me and my investment needs. You can't get that kind of personal attention on the web or from a faraway company. I trust Liberty. Visit their Scottsdale store or call 877-888-8052. That's 877-888-8052. Liberty Coin and Precious Metals.
Liberty.
Now at the Home Depot, get 12-month special financing on central cooling systems of $299 or more. The installation will be backed by the Home Depot, so you know it will be done right. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT to schedule a free in-home consultation. A more comfortable home in the Arizona summer begins with special financing on central cooling systems. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. U.S. only. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
I'm Bill Crawford, and I approve this message. I'm running for Scottsdale City Council. I've been cleaning up Scottsdale's Bar District and fighting corruption in city government. To finish the work, I need your vote on August 28th. I'm a 35-year businessman and National Fitness Hall of Fame inductee. I serve on the Maricopa County Sheriff's Posse. I get things done, do what's right, and protect my neighbors. I'm endorsed by Sheriff Joe, Trent Franks, Russell Pierce, and Lester Pierce. Vote Bill Crawford for Scottsdale City Council. Quality of life, public safety, and jobs.
Paid for by the Vote Bill Crawford Campaign Committee.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Will & Check & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Hello. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Independent Talk Radio 1100 KFNX, and we're back on Legalese talking about really an amazing thing, which is, and you know, we've been talking on this show for at least a year and a half about different things, and to me, honestly, this is one of the great stories because it's undersung, because the truth of the matter is, to even conceive of a plan where you could get through the city bureaucracy and red tape and get a plan approved in 24 hours or less is for people in the know, that's just an incredible thing, and that story has to be told. So if I can call you Sal,
yep.
How'd you get this done?
Well, let's, if I could just digress just a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
What we did in 2009, Councilman Tom Simplett and I are the ones that chaired this committee.
Right.
We looked at the Chicago model. Chicago allowed some self-certification, very limited. So the city of Phoenix moved to a self-certification model in 2009. We wanted to train ourselves on it. So this was a natural step to go afterwards.
Right.
What I think everybody's surprised at is to the level we've gone. You know, everybody wants to incrementalize it instead of, you know, just doing the right thing and fixing it right off the bat. And and we stood firm, Tom and I both stood firm on this and said, no, we're not going to do anything less than being the best in the country.
Right.
So we wanted to create something that was the absolute best in the country, which we believe we've done here, so that when you look at it, for job creation, people that want to move their business here, they're going to look at, how fast can I get something done? They're going to assume that it takes 8 months to get something.
Yeah.
And then when they're told it's 24 hours, they can't believe it. They're
how
do you do that? So it was a challenge at first, but I want you to think about who we ended up getting in support of this. We had people from the Goldwater Institute, which we know they're conservative, you know, very libertarian-based think tank. And we had union leaders.
Complete opposite.
Complete opposite. We had government, and we had people from the private sector.
Well, I was going to say, that was going to be one of my questions. Who could be against this? Was there a group against it?
Well, as a general rule, people that favor big government, you know, think that government should control everything, every aspect of life, are the ones that are going to be in favor, you know, be opposed to it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think everyone came to a realization that we had to do this. If we're going to be competitive in this world economy that we live in today, you have got to look at deregulatory methods, and you've got to look at streamlining your operations to allow business to start building.
Well, I
if
mean,
you don't do it, you're going to sink.
Yeah, to me,
look at Detroit.
Well, let's not.
Greece.
Let's not.
I mean, you could go through the list.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is that you're relying now on architects and engineers and contractors, basically, to do what they're supposed to do, right? So let's talk about that. How do you make sure what people whose own self-interest is to get this through quickly and to not maybe be as careful as maybe inspectors and so forth from the city?
Well, that's the other myth, that everyone seems to think that government always has their best interest. It's just not true. I mean, if you go through, basically go online, look at government or just look at corruption, almost every one of it down the line is someone from government, and very few times will you see it from someone from the private sector. So corruption is not rampant in the private sector.
Well, you know, and I got to interrupt you for 1 second because as a lawyer, I deal with this a lot, and I raise the fact that, well, we have a city inspection. So, you know, there's a case on this that came down through the city of Phoenix, a lawsuit that was against the city of Phoenix on this issue of inspection. But the bottom line is, I would argue that because we have an inspection from the city of Phoenix and roundly throughout the state, and by the way, our station goes throughout the state, the answer that I got back from most of the courts that I've argued that is, come on, the city inspectors don't do anything. Don't give me that. You know, that kind of response. So it's an interesting point, really, because the people that are actually obtaining these permits, from a liability standpoint, probably do have a much greater incentive than somebody from the city inspecting in reality.
They have all the incentive.
Yeah.
If you look at it, since 1986, government, city, local governments have accepted no liability on this.
Right.
That's the second myth.
Right.
And the myth is that, you know, we're responsible.
Unless it's grossly
reliable.
Negligent, I guess, or there's some limited exceptions, right?
Yeah, believe me, we've got fantastic inspectors at the city of Phoenix, and I think they're great. I really do. I think they're fantastic. But the belief structure that people in the private sector can't do it as well as government is that's a myth I want to debunk right off the bat.
Is there something built into this process, though, that ensures?
Yep.
Tell us about that.
We did that. In 2009, what we looked at, too, is, okay, if we're going to be moving to this, you know, what can we do to train ourselves but to also make sure that there's a level of safety built into – not a level, but a significant level of safety built into it. So everybody who submits their plans, the first three plans, you know, after they've gone through a training process,
okay,
they get fully audited. After that, it becomes a random audit. So if an individual fails, they're, you know, basically the three audits, you know, if they fail them, they cannot do work under this process for 3 years. So they basically don't get any work. So there's a considerable amount of – and plus they've also got a liability that government does not have. We do not accept any liability for anything that occurs on a project. We just don't.
Well, one thing I'd like to chime in also
sure.
is on the structural – on the significantly risky parts of a building structure, those are already required to be inspected by a third party. If you're looking at a large structural steel building – you don't have a city inspector inspecting your welds. That is a separate third-party inspection.
Who is that? Who would do that?
A third-party inspector, something like a materials testing company. That's their job. That is something that's hired by the contractor to ensure the quality of the construction is adequate, meets your codes, that is going to your design standard, that your structural engineer
says this needs to be there. Now, is that something that's required or is that something that's
prudent?
Absolutely.
No, it's required.
Required by the city that's...
It's a city code. Absolutely.
Well, here's something
you're
else.
You're inspecting to a code.
Hmm. Now, Rebecca brought up an incredibly
good point.
Didn't know
that, actually.
Well, we didn't know it either. And let me tell you, when we got into this, we found out that the real complicated inspections are all done by the private sector. We do general inspections.
Right. Well, that's true.
We do the general ones.
Right.
So it wasn't – now.
And that's the answer I get back in court.
Right. Yeah. We just do general ones. Right. We don't do specific things.
The most intense inspection I've ever walked was for exit signs. As a fire department inspector at the end of the job, he walks through and he says, I need to see an exit sign everywhere I stand. I need to see an exit sign.
Now, is this just in commercial or is this residential as well? Because
commercial. My background is all commercial.
I was going
to
say.
I'll speak to that. Not residential.
It's commercial.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, what we did, and I want to break it down because people get inspections mixed up with permitting, and they're two separate entities. They're tied together, but they're separate. So if you look at what a normal process is to get a business started, you have to get your permit, and then after you start construction, you do your inspections.
Right, right.
So what we did is we broke that into two categories. Okay, how do we deal with permits? How do we deal with inspections?
Yeah.
And we wanted to move everything to a day or less throughout. So we took down the permitting, and we said we want to move this. We want everything to be done, what normally was 6 to 8 months, to 24 hours or less. Then what we did is we instituted into policy after you've started your construction that if you make a phone call, now the council passed this, which means that you get an inspector at your door the next day. You call today, you have an inspection by the next day. It was never instituted into policy. Now, we followed through on that as a city, but once the council votes on it, it now becomes basically like a law. So we have to do this.
What happens? Things. Let's talk about that. Again, this is both residential and commercial, what you're talking about. Now.
Right.
Now, what happens if, for some reason, that can't happen?
Well,
I mean, right now it probably can happen because there's not a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
But what happens when it gets backlogged like it was in 06 or something?
Well, and that will occur. And that's why we've taken steps to improve the inspections part of it, too, to expand that out.
But does this say it has to happen in 24 hours?
It has to happen. And by law, we have to, as a city, do our best to comply with that policy.
And if not, do they get approved automatically?
No. There's no, in quite reality, there's no significant penalty on that. That if it becomes a practice or over time, I mean, one or two individuals, it could happen, and more than likely it would happen.
Yeah.
But overall, we're going to be getting reports on a monthly basis to see how fast we are actually getting out there and whether or not we're complying with that 24-hour rule.
Okay. Now, one of the things that we were talking about during the break was that I want to explore here on the air before we take our news break is this resulting in anything positive or tangible that we can see in terms of startups, in terms of additional permits?
We track permits. The Arizona Builders Exchange tracks permit activity as just an indicator of the market. We don't see a significant spike. From what we can tell, there's not a lot of activity. People that had a project in Mesa or Tempe or Glendale or anything saying, oh, City of Mesa. I'm coming to City of Mesa or City of Phoenix instead. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Just because of this permitting action.
Right.
What we do see is it's just a tool for economic development. I think it's a fantastic step in the right direction.
Well, it says we're open for business. We're doing things to help people, not stand in their way.
And people that, if you look at, you know, this got passed on April 24th. It takes time for that to get absorbed in the market. So if you look at the permits, these are things that were planned a year ago.
I agree.
So it's the guy who's
it's
making
very premature,
today.
I agree. And again, the word has not been out there. That's why we're doing the show. I didn't know about this until I found out about it and thought it was phenomenal. I mean, it's a great idea. Why isn't it out there more? I mean, it's just silly to me.
Well, there are three cities.
Who's doing something like this? Yeah.
Well, nobody yet in the Valley. But we've talked to Mayor Lane. Mayor Lane is all over this.
Yeah, he was
idea.
On our show.
Yeah, and he loves the idea. So
yeah.
He's already creating a committee to start this on his own in his own city. We've talked to Tony Rivero out of the city of Peoria.
Right.
And he wants to bring it. And Don Ames. From the two council members that want to bring this to Peoria.
I would think so.
We've already met with the council members of Chandler, and Chandler is all over this. But they may not take it to the level we did. They're going to probably move into tenant improvements and a couple things like that first. But they could easily move a little further, too. But just imagine what happens to our region if the entire region is known for getting things done in a day or less.
Okay, I agree. And by the way, we're going to take our break because we have to for the news at the half hour in just a few seconds. But when we come back, I do want to talk about how this concept, again, this new way of thinking may be something that spills over to other areas as well as just permitting.
Sure.
And again, we have Councilman DeCiccio and Rebecca Morris with us talking about these issues. And we'll be back after this break on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. This is Legalese with Dennis Wolinchek.
News Radio, I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. Mitt Romney was reaching out to younger voters in Des Moines today.
I hope young people understand that this president's policies, which build trillion-dollar deficits a year, are putting in place debt obligations you will have to pay as young people.
Speaking in Denver, President Obama said Romney and his Republican allies in Congress should not decide who gets access to health care.
When it comes to a woman's right to make her own health care choices, they want to take us back to the policies more suited to the 1950s than the 21st century.
The investigation is continuing into the shootings at a Sikh temple in Wisconsin. Teresa Carlson of the FBI says a former girlfriend of the gunman has been questioned.
She was cooperative. The police officers, while there, observed a weapon, and they arrested her for felon in possession at that time.
Carlson says investigators do not think the woman was connected to the shootings.
Arizona News Radio. Our state executed its fifth inmate this year, Daniel Wade Cook, given a lethal injection shortly after 10 a.m. at Florence. He had been convicted of the brutal rape and slaying of two friends of his at Lake Havasu City a quarter of a century ago, Attorney General Tom Horn.
The average delay between verdict and execution in the Ninth Circuit is 18 years. I consider that to be scandalous, and the families of the victims have a strong need to see justice done in a timely way.
The Phoenix Police Department shocked by the arrest of one of their own, veteran officer Chris Wilson, Chris J. Wilson, that is, accused of sexual conduct with two boys, 17 and 14. Police Chief Daniel Garcia.
He met the 17-year-old through his police duties. Officer Mr. Wilson now was a community relations officer, and he met them through that process.
And Maricopa County Sheriff's deputies are searching for two men who broke into a Sun Lakes home early this morning. Bob Baker, Arizona News Radio.
This check of your KFNX traffic is brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. We have a medical emergency southbound I-17 on the west side at the Loop 303. Also look for a fender bender Lindsay Road at Brown. Also, we have a wreck McQueen Road with Guadalupe at inquiring extrication also. In-N-Out Burger, no microwaves, no freezers, just 100% ingredients made to order all day, every day. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger's all about.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Could see some gusty winds and dust storms late evening hours as some of these thunderstorms die down around the deserts. And we continue very hot, 112 through Saturday. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we are at 114 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Hi, this is Stephen Lomsdale, and do you want to retire one day? Making just one investment mistake during these difficult times can make a big impact on your future. I want to offer you my new book titled Three Wall Street Myths That Could Ruin Your Retirement Dreams, and I'm offering it for free. Just call me, 1-800-799-8033 on my voicemail, and I will mail you this information today. 800-799-8033. Three Wall Street Myths That Could Ruin Your Retirement Dreams for free. 1-800-799-8033. Securities and Investment Advisory Services offered through Brokers International Financial Services, LLC, Panora, Iowa, member of FINRA, SIPC.
I have the answer. Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
This is Dennis Malachek on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, and we're talking with Councilman Sal DeCiccio. What's your district again now?
It's considered District 6 in the city of Phoenix. Okay. It covers all Arcadia, Biltmore, North Central Phoenix, and it covers all of Ahwatukee.
Yeah, so it's a pretty broad area. Yeah.
That's about 200,000, 180,000 to 200,000.
And is there an election going on now? And are
not
you
on
up?
My end.
Not in your end?
No.
Okay.
Mine's next year.
Well, that's good. And we're talking with Rebecca Morris, who publishes the Arizona Builders Exchange. And we're talking today about construction, about, again, trying to spur the economy some. Do you think, Councilman DeCiccio, that this is going to ultimately help spur the economy here? I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum on the show about how you get this economy rolling again. We thought it was, and then it stops, and then it goes, and nobody seems to know.
Without a doubt, it's going to give us an economic advantage over everybody else. If you look at this where we live today, we live in a world economy. And we compete in a global market.
True.
So for us to be able to compete, we've got to be better, faster than everyone else. In order to get there, you've got to do things smarter. And what the city of Phoenix did is we literally said, we recognize that we've got to be competitive, and we're going to compete. And not only are we going to compete, but we're going to blow everyone else out of the water. So if you're a business owner that's looking at making a business decision of where you want to move or whether or not you even want to move, if you look at Denver, Albuquerque, and it says, well, it's going to take me 6 to 8 months because you think that's the norm, you're going to literally put Phoenix on that list. Now, whether you choose to come here depends on a lot of other factors, but we've got a lot of good things happening in this economy here.
Well, let me talk to you about that just if I can bear off. And Rebecca, again, I'd like your take on this because you follow what's going on in town. What is happening real quickly in terms of something positive here, in terms of new development? Something that's a breakthrough. One of the problems, my son, for example, lives in downtown Phoenix, okay, at a condominium down there. One of the things he perpetually complains about, as opposed to other cities, is there's just too many homeless people wandering around down there. It turns off a lot of people. I mean, the reality is the reality. It's a sad thing. But the reality is, if you're trying to build that up to be a place, a destination point, it's tough, isn't it? I mean, is the city turning to these kinds of issues? And
Well, we've centralized a lot of that with the homeless. I mean, if you look at it, we've got a police department that's literally located in the downtown. So, I mean, if you come down to downtown Phoenix, it is not the same as it was. It's still there.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But if you go back 10 years, it is not
even close.
It's
definitely better.
It's a lot better.
Yeah.
But what you've got to do is, I mean, this is one that takes constant vigilance. You got to, you know, arresting these individuals isn't going to do any good.
No.
You know, a third of them have mental health problems.
True.
So you've got to take them to, you know, a location that's not that far from the downtown. So that we've got a homeless.
But it's a real issue.
Campus.
I mean, it's a definite detriment, I think.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, if you don't feel safe somewhere, you're not going to go there.
Right.
But, you know, I've taken my kids to the downtown. I've got two twin girls,
right.
And I have no problem at all taking
them.
No,
I don't think that they're dangerous, honestly, from what I've seen either, in the sense that somebody's going to cost you. I don't feel that way either. But it's just, you know, you get hit up and
right.
You're walking and it's just annoying and people don't like that. And people have commented on the show and off the show about it.
You're going to make a decision to go somewhere else.
Right.
That's
the point.
Doing.
So it's a real issue for the city of Phoenix if it's going to at least make downtown into a destination point, I think. But what else beyond downtown? What's going on out there now? What is the city doing? And where do you see, Rebecca, things popping up? Is it in the city of Phoenix? Is it in the outlying areas?
Well, I'll go through by market
sector,
if that's okay. We track construction activity. So in terms of overall market activity, a couple different indicators for you. Construction employment at the peak was about 250,000 throughout the state. You're down to 110,000. And that's actually up 10,000 from about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Right.
So it's starting to come back, definitely off the bottom. The other indicator that we
is that both, again, residential and
overall construction employment.
And you're talking about like from the high light of, say, 2006?
2006, 2007 is your peak employment,
So basically the summary of that is we've gone up some from that low point. But
you've come up 10%
yeah.
off the low,
all right.
Except for your low was more than 50% lower than your high.
It's something. That's good.
There's that one indicator. And also we track construction sales taxable activity. That's, to us, a true market indicator. Instead of using, like, U.S. Census data, we use state construction sales tax activity because contracting is a line item on sales tax.
Okay.
That's a taxable sale. That's a true market indicator. We're projecting about 3-5% growth on that respect. It's a just over $9 billion volume for the state.
On new projects anticipated.
That's total construction activity for fiscal year July 1 to June 31. Mm-hmm. June 30.
Right.
Yeah. So that's about just over $9 billion is what we're expecting.
Well,
so it's a big industry still. That's coming up a little bit. So that's good. And then in terms of market activity, you're seeing a lot in the multifamily sector for construction. That's the hottest market sector right now. Multifamily includes everything from apartments, condos, and then also your student housing senior housing. That's almost a boom.
Yeah.
I mean, if you talk about construction market activity, you're seeing a ton of activity. I've heard numbers like 12,500 multifamily units throughout the valley. Tucson also is having quite a bit of activity, especially in the student housing. You're seeing that along the light rail. So some of those things are happening. Mesa has a big initiative in transit-oriented development. I attended a summit that they had back in February. They really want to take those city-owned properties along the light rail, and especially because they have the Central Mesa Light Rail extension.
Exactly.
They're really marketing those. And it's good to see them really care about their downtown, create a sense of space.
Because that needs a lot of help, too.
They do. So they do have different things going on there. And they had a huge initiative to bring higher education to the city. I think they sent out letters to like 1,200 universities across the nation saying, we want you to come and open a campus in Mesa. Well, they actually, I think they have the fourth university coming to downtown. So it is that's something that they decided that was their initiative. They're focusing on higher education. They're successful. That's four universities coming to town. I think Peoria has Trine University. Or surprise.
Well, let me interrupt. Why isn't Phoenix on that kick? I mean, I heard something about the law school from ASU going downtown. Is that going to happen? Is this just pipe dreams or what?
No, matter of fact, I believe that is going to end up happening.
Phoenix Law School went downtown.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. No, ASU's law school.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about now.
Right.
Right.
And, that's already in the works. Matter of fact, we have had discussions with Arizona State University. We're working out some of the financing.
Because you have a substantial campus downtown now.
Oh, it'll be large.
Yeah.
And it's a logical spot for them to be. I mean, where the courts are.
Sure.
You know, where the judges are.
Right,
you know, all
right.
those things. That's where you, if you want to, you know, if you want to have a
lawsuit. So that you think is going to happen?
Oh, I believe that that will happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at what the city of Phoenix did by bringing in Arizona State University, it was significant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really did because it created a, you know...
People living down there.
A base. Yeah, it created people living down there. You see a lot more younger people. If you come downtown, which, you know, I don't do that. I mean, I got little kids. Like by 8 o'clock, I'm asleep.
Yeah.
You know? So, but there were a couple events I brought my kids to that were downtown. I was shocked at the amount of activity that is occurring and how many young people are in the downtown area.
It's true. It's,
you know, well, look at your son.
No, it's true.
You know, graduate from college,
absolutely.
Law degree, the whole thing. He's staying downtown.
Right.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I think downtown is important, and it's coming together, I think. You can see it from, you know, the days when I was out here 40 years ago.
It was
awful. So it's definitely made a major improvement, but I'm just curious where it's going in the future here. I mean, is the city committed to it, and are there additional things on the boards for additional projects?
There's a definite commitment to it. Here's the biggest fear, is that we only rely on one entity. You know, in the past, it was all Arizona State University. Great.
Uh-huh.
You know, they've become your anchor
into
the downtown. Now it's really up to us to look at that as a cluster, you know, as an education cluster, like you said, with Mesa.
Yeah.
And we've got Creighton downtown now with their medical school. You know, the U of A's brought theirs down. But to look at other private sector universities, to bring them into their...
So there is a push for that.
Well, I don't believe that there's 100% push on that right now. But there needs to be, and I've been pushing for that at the city, saying, hey, look, you can't just be reliant on one entity.
One positive thing I'll point out right before the break we have to take right now is this finishing up of this light rail, you know, through the airport, which is a big thing, I think, in terms of, you know, attracting people to use the light rail.
I'm not a fan of that.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's 4.7 miles and 1.6 billion.
Yeah. Well, there's a good
probably
point.
Probably closer to 2 billion by the time it's done.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll come back to that after the break. We're talking with Councilman Sal DeCiccio and Rebecca Morris from the Arizona Builders Exchange. This is Dennis Mulinchek, KFNX 1100.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Hi, I'm Tom Sadeka, President and CEO of Precision Payroll of America. We're the 29-year-old company whose first employee and first client are still working together. The other day at a lunch event, I heard a competitor talking about the payroll service industry and how it was really just pushing data out on paper or electronically to companies. I thought about that statement for some time. Perhaps it's accurate from a technical sense, but it's not how we think about our business or services here at Precision Payroll. What we do is process and deliver the livelihood of our clients' employees and manage the payroll tax liabilities for the client's company. I believe and our clients agree that we deliver our service with great care and respect. If you feel like you're getting data pushed to you, we should talk. Why not? Let's see if our model of high-tech, high-touch, and old-fashioned personal service fits your needs. Just call my regional manager, Derek, at 602-471-2200. That's 602-471-2200.
There's nothing more desirable and rare than a piece of vintage jewelry.
I couldn't agree more.
And for the finest collection and lowest prices in estate jewelry, shop Lundin Gold.
Classic watches with diamond bezels, elegant designs in precious stones, diamond rings, bracelets, earrings.
Ageless designs from the world's iconic designers. Names you know. Purchased from estates, their luster restored, and placed on sale at remarkable prices. Lundin Gold is also the name you know and depend upon for the finest in today's jewelry. If you're looking for an engagement ring, then Lundin Gold is your first stop. We sell diamonds around the world, and when you buy from us, not only will you get the diamond she'll love, but you'll pay the very same direct diamond dealer price. So for the latest in today's jewelry,
or estate jewelry,
shop Lundin Gold with 3 Valley locations, Arrow Head, Chandler, Scottsdale,
or online at LondonGold.com.
Lundin Gold, it's the best.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I'm hiding in Honduras.
All right, well, we're back on the air, and here we are, last segment of our show today. talking with Councilman Sal DeCiccio and Rebecca Morris. Rebecca, let me just turn to you for a minute. We were talking about, you know, driving the economy and what's going on around the state in terms of projects and so forth. You seem to, as I got it, you seem to be pretty optimistic that things are on the mend and on the uptake. Is that a fair characterization or not?
I'd like to always think of myself as an optimist.
Yeah, but I mean, realistically, from what you're seeing something positive out there?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of projects being announced. The harder part is to match up the trigger, I guess I would say, trigger for these large projects. So you've got a couple office towers proposed for downtown. You've got an office tower proposed for Tempe, right next to the Tempe Town Lake. The catch-22 is you will not get financing for that project until a certain amount is pre-leased. The commercial real estate,
yeah.
The space is occupied,
yeah.
Or, you know, you have guaranteed tenants to take up the space. Well, then the tenant isn't going to sign the lease because they need a certain time frame to move in.
Right.
So what we're seeing is, you know, there's a little bit of a disconnect. They have all these great projects. They look great. They don't have the pre-leasing. Talking to the economic developers, they say, well, we've got a lot of people that want to come to the area, large employers. Their time frame does not allow them to wait for a new
building.
So
what's the answer for this, both of you?
They have the workaround for the economic developers right now is to say, we will find you an existing space to move into while your project is being built. That's what they're really trying to push.
Okay.
Your occupancy rates, so far they haven't really been successful. I'm not seeing, you know, large companies coming to town with any great frequency. Those are kind of infrequent announcements.
Yeah.
We've got a few.
They don't want to move twice.
Right. It's an expense. It's definitely an expense. But as they grow, you know, something that a lot of companies also, they have the incubators. A lot of cities are doing these incubators, growing the technology companies from the startup phase, growing these startup companies, and they kind of want them to graduate, give an incubated space, and then get them out into industry, get their products to market. So that is a good thing in terms of growing the smaller companies, those startups.
Well, let me ask you, and I'm going to ask the councilman as well. If you had, because we have a few minutes, if you had your wish list, I ask this of a lot of guests, but if you had your wish list of what you would do right now to spur this economy, what would be the top of your list, Rebecca?
My main thing is tax increment financing. We're one of two states in the nation that does not have a vehicle of tax increment financing for developers to move forward. It's an economic development tool. We don't have it. It's not something that the state allows.
All right.
So that
and I know Councilman DeCiccio is opposed to it, so let's hear from him.
The reason for that is if you look at tax increment financing, all it does is it moves one level of growth to the other part of the valley. It doesn't bring in it just hasn't brought in. It's been used on sales tax dollars for retail centers. It just hasn't brought in new businesses to come in here because, you know, whether I'm going to give a financial incentive on this side of the street and the other side doesn't get it, it creates an uneven playing field, A, and B, all it does is it moves them to one side of the street versus the other where they're going to come into anyways.
So why does everybody have it except us and a few other places?
I'm okay with us not having it, quite frankly.
Well, what would you propose? Let me just say this. What would you propose as, again, your wish list is the one thing to motivate people to come to Phoenix, build, develop here? You've already brought out, of course, this expedited building permit process that you were responsible for, which is great. But beyond that, what else is going to make Phoenix into a world-class city?
Well, if you look at it, you've got to be able to, right off the bat, you've got to treat all businesses exactly the same, whether they're small or large. And if you do that, what you've got to do is create a deregulatory scheme that's out there. If you want to increase
Should we have
business,
zoning?
You know, I'm not a big fan of zoning, quite frankly. I mean, if you look at Houston, it's worked well there.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a whole nother issue. But the more regulatory of a burden you put on business owners, whether it's the Obamacare or whatever it is you want to put on there, the more you put on there, the more you push them somewhere else or you push them from expanding.
Yeah.
So
I tend to agree. And the more complicated it is also, a lot of people can't figure out how to get through City Hall.
You can't. You shouldn't be able to have to do that. And that should not
be
on your list. That's a turnoff. The second thing is local governments have got to start looking at what I call economic clusters. If you look at Houston, which we talked about earlier, Houston has it's cancer, but they brought in all the entities into cancer, the related types of industries in there.
Right.
Tucson has optics. You know, that's where they, you know, if you're an optic, that's where you want to go. So if you create clusters, which do require sometimes some investments, just right off the bat. But after that, it becomes self-sustaining. So people start coming there because other businesses are there that operate in the same field, just like with restaurants.
What would it be for Phoenix?
Well, Phoenix, you have a variety of things. One, you have medical. You've got St. Joe's. You've got Good Sam. You've got Maricopa County Health. You've got Mayo. Yeah. You've got the potential of a really good cluster when it comes to health, and health is growing.
Yeah.
And you've got the start of the biomedical campus.
Biomedical.
The training of the doctors, the training of those professions in downtown Phoenix. So you do see that.
So that could be, like Houston, a world-class destination.
Education. Right. There are a variety of things that we look at. The problem is you know, cities and local governments think everything is part of economic development and without any targeting. You only have X amount of staff and time to get anything done. You've got to focus on those areas that you think and believe that are going to drive your city in a direction, at least have a vision.
Let me ask you in that regard about the city of Phoenix in terms of the airport situation and attracting airlines to come to Phoenix, because this is, to me, a pet peeve. Most major cities of our size have international flights. We have one, right?
Well,
we have some to Mexico. I take that
back.
Yeah,
we have Mexico. We have British Airways, which I helped with in the
90s. Well, I think it's great.
And I know that Councilwoman Williams was out to China over the past few weeks looking to try to bring in international airlines. That has been a problem.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, it hasn't been a destination point. But with airlines.
And now it may get worse with the America West and their potential merger, right?
It could.
I mean, they're in Tempe, but.
It could. I mean, as long as we keep the hub here, I mean, I'd like to keep the corporate office here, but they're pretty much dead set against that. But you got to remember, with airlines, it's not just about people. It's about what other things that they can bring with it. British Airways brings in
lettuce
from Yuba.
I mean, we lost Lufthansa.
Yeah.
We never got that back.
You've got to be able to carry cargo as well, not just people. People bring in revenue, but they've got to be able to bring in cargo, which is outside of the individuals that are just
flying. So the city's working on that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. And basically, what about you personally now? What do you do for a living, actually?
Real estate.
Meaning what?
Well, I have my own projects that I work on, and it's commercial. I try not to do as much as the
residential. So I'm more of a developer.
Well, not a developer, but I have my own projects that I do myself, you know, and that's pretty much it. I do that. I've been doing that since, you know, basically the 1980s.
And what are your plans in the future in terms of politics? Any plans?
You know, Des, I don't know. Right now, this was the big thing that I wanted to get through because I really believe it'll put the city of Phoenix in the, you know, top of the class and because everybody talks about it. They've been talking about trying to do something for years. You know, from my end, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I may not do anything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very content with what I passed on. Now I want to make sure that it works.
Okay. Rebecca, tell us briefly about your business before we close and what you guys actually do and what people can look you up for to find out.
The Arizona Builders Exchange is a news media outlet for design and construction types. We publish an actual newsletter Tuesdays and Fridays. And we just track the design and construction activity in the state. So about half of our newsletter is open project opportunities. The rest of it is everything else you need to know to do business in Arizona.
But, I mean, do you connect people together on the site?
Absolutely.
And yeah. How? Just give me a quick...
For instance, I got a request today from a contractor. He's a general contractor that does federal work based out of Las Vegas looking to make connections with greater Phoenix area women-owned small businesses that want to break into the federal market. So that's something that he needs to partner up with. He came to me. I'll let him know. I'll get the word out as best I can that I have somebody that's looking to make.
Is there a charge for that, or is this a service that you run?
Anybody can request that. We are a subscription service, yes.
Okay.
We do. We do charge a subscription fee, but we do track economic development-type activities, anything that you need to know to do business in Arizona for design and construction types. So projects in planning development, legislation affecting our industry, permits. We also do bid results, project awards. It's a lead service. I mean,
you have like 1,000 subscribers, right?
Oh, we've got about 250 subscriber firms.
Right.
The readership is about 1,000.
Readers. Quickly, we got about 2 minutes, but how does that work? I mean, I'm just trying to understand how that actually works. In other words, you've got 250 people subscribing.
Correct.
But
it's a
anybody can go on there.
Well, it's a corporate-wide subscription to those subscriber firms.
Oh, I see.
They sign up. They just tell me to put whoever they want on the list.
Okay, and what does somebody get out of this in a nutshell?
Opportunity.
I mean,
It's opportunity to develop business relationships.
Okay.
If I'm a general contractor and I want to know who's doing the design work in town,
oh,
you read me. I'm going to tell you everything that's going on. I'm going to have who's actually doing the work so you can reach out and say,
I see.
I want to chase that project. I'm going
to
go
make a call. Do you monitor what cities are doing? And,
absolutely.
Yeah,
we do that through the permit activity. The project opportunities are a lot of public works. So City of Phoenix, you do a lot of contracting activity. We track all that.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Were you aware of this service before today? Yeah,
no,
I wasn't either.
I'm fascinated. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of those things that will end up going national.
It will eventually. You know, we're just really trying to do a good job in Arizona.
Well, that's what we need really right before we close. I mean, I want to thank my guests, Sal, the CCO, Rebecca Morris. You know, this is what we need. People coming together and trying to do something good here, right? As opposed to the dissension and politics and all that stuff, right?
Well, we did that with this. I mean,
we
had a variety of people from different ends of the political spectrum support one plan.
And I applaud you for it. And thank you, Rebecca, for appearing today.
Staff was fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot. We appreciate both of you being on the show today and coming down here. I know it's hot outside. So we'll see you all next week on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. Savage is up, and we're out of here. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Denver Noas with EquityForProfit.com. If you're like most Americans, the IRS is going to get at least 20 to 30% of your retirement income, maybe more. Your IRA, your 401k, your SEP, deferred comp are all 100% taxable as income when you take it out. And with taxes only going up, most people pay more in taxes than they ever earned on their investments. If all you're doing is saving into taxable accounts, it's time to learn how to build tax-free wealth and take advantage of a massive IRS-approved tax shelter most people never use. Go to EquityForProfit.com and stop paying so much in taxes.
Who's the conservative voice for Scottsdale City Council? Guy Phillips.
Hi, folks. Guy Phillips for Scottsdale City Council. Local government mirrors national government, and Scottsdale is no exception. It's time to get rid of the Agenda 21 sustainable growth progressives that infiltrated our local government. Spread the word that there is a conservative, resident-friendly candidate who has the backbone to protect and defend our quality of life.
Local elections matter. Vote Guy Phillips for Scottsdale City Council. Visit ScottsdaleAdvocates.com.
Paid for by committee to elect Guy Phillips.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Stations, the home of the Mike Huckabee Show, KFNX News.